Greetings. I present to you, SMK, the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope, at CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph, Ontario, and through the web on CFRU.ca. I am its Master Overseer, Nicholas Cooper. We will be looking inward and beyond at progressive rock, the branches of progressive genres, and other unique discoveries near and far. Join me as we gaze into the audible lens out at the diverse musical landscape on the ever-changing horizon. Welcome to Original Masters, a one-hour feature on the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope, looking exclusively at progressive rock's monumental and obscured past. It is time to bring you good centuries back into progressive rock's grand days of yore, and another feature with a curated observational song set and personalized script, graciously provided by my dad, Paul Cooper. The first Original Masters showcased the 1970s, mainly known as the golden era of progressive rock in many fan circles. In this feature, we proceed into the next decade. Today's Original Masters is called Neoprog, Progressive Rock in the 1980s. The rest of today's talking segments were written by my dad, Paul Cooper. Neo-progressive rock is a subgenre that typically classifies progressive rock of the 1980s. The emphasis was less on prolonged musical works and more on shorter, carefully crafted but emotionally intense songs. The 80s saw classic 70s prog bands break up, reform with new members, have key members go solo, have new bands come into play, and perhaps most interesting, have key members from different bands form new supergroups, such as Asia. For me, the most famous new prog band of the 80s was Marillion, with its iconic lead singer, Phish. Phish left the band at the end of the decade to be replaced by Steve Hogarth, but Phish will always be remembered for singing the band's greatest hit, Kaylee. Marillion still records and tours today and are making vibrant prog music, having released their new album, Fear, in September of last year. Our first song in today's retrospective, however, is from their second album, released in 1984, the title track, Fugazi.
Vodka intimate on a fair with isolation in a black heat cell. Extinguishing the fires in a private hell, provoking the heartache to renew the license of a bleeding heart poet in a fragile capsule, propping up the crust off the glitter conscience. Wrapped in the christening shawl of a hangover, baptized in tears from the rain. Tears from the rain. Piccadilly line, rat race, scuttling through the damp ellipse of labyrinth. Within the Walkman, where the halo of distortion, oral contraceptive, a barting pregnant conversation.
Troubles, 9 to 5. drowning in the real. Legacy of romance from a twilight world, the diary of a relative mystery girl.
Where are the prophets? Where?
the deeper emotional content of neo-prog can be found on the next two songs. After leaving Genesis, Peter Gabriel continued to innovate. Listen to the drum work of Phil Collins on Intruder. From Peter's third solo album, released in 1980, Peter Gabriel III, also known as Melt, from the cover artwork. It was one of the first songs to use the gated drum sound, an audio processing technique to make the drums sound powerful while keeping the mix clean. The second song will be Witch Hunt, Part 3 of Fear, an equally emotionally intense song, taken from Rush's 1981 album, Moving Pictures.
in our theaters and bookstore shelves. Those who know what's best for us must rise and save us from ourselves.
And prejudice.
Battle Scar was a unique collaboration between Torontonian rock bands Rush and the Kim Mitchell-led band Max Webster. It appeared on Max Webster's 1980 release, Universal Juveniles. Here is a quote from Rush's drummer, Neil Peart, about the collaboration from the Moving Pictures tour book. Toronto, July 28, 1980. An intense thunderstorm raged outside all day long. While indoors, a storm of a different kind was brewing. In the studios of Phase 1, two complete sets of equipment crammed the room, and two complete bands filled the air with a Wagnerian tumult, as Max Webster and ourselves united to record a song for their album called Battle Scar. Wagnerian tumult, now that's neo-prog. Jethro Tull was one of the classic 70s prog bands that was able to transition into the neo-prog of the 80s, with the addition of keyboardist Peter John Vettis, who added a signature synthesizer sound to the band's 1982 album, The Broadsword and the Beast. Taken from that album is the song called Clasp.
Thank you.
You are listening to SMK, the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope, at CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph, Ontario, and through the web on CFRU.ca.
Good afternoon, I introduce myself. With a story to be told, you may need help. I know you were a headline for some time. Now you're part of a motionless mind. Lights have dimmed and times have changed. And the world is watching a different stage. Don't you think it's time we had a younger face? Slip away with no disgrace. So tell me,
Saga continued to improve with each album released as they entered the 80s. That was Saga's The Interview, taken from their third album, Worlds Apart, released in 1981. Instrumentals have always played a large role in progressive rock. The ability to tell a story without words but with emotional context is no more on display than in the next three songs. Centauri in Tangier is from the reformed King Crimson's 1982 album, Beat. It's followed by now solo Nash the Slash's Fever Dream. And yes, I'm cheating, as it's from his 1978 Bedside Companion album, but it so fits the mood of neo-prog that I had to work it in. Completing this set will be ex-Genesis guitarist Steve Hackett's The Air-Conditioned Nightmare, from his 1983 album, Cured.
Thank you.
One of the best band reformations of the 1980s came later on in the decade. Yes had always had a history of band members leaving and rejoining, not always on their own accord. So it was no surprise when the current ex-Yes members at the time, John Anderson, Bill Bruford, Rick Wakeman, and Steve Howe, joined together to form ABWH, Anderson, Bruford, Wakeman, Howe. That tradition has continued today with Yes featuring Anderson, Robin, and Wakeman, currently touring. In his autobiography, Bill Bruford remembers the response fans gave them during their tour as one of his highlights. "They thought we were the real Yes," he remembered. Taken from their 1989 self-titled album, we leave you with Order of the Universe, a joyous song to end the decade with. And with that, we will finish this original Masters feature. This has been SMK, the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope, at CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph, Ontario, and through the web on CFRU.ca. Keep informed with the show's Facebook page at SMK Radio Program. Until next we behold, prog on and look inward and beyond.